Sounds to me like you're daunted. Say it again like you're undaunted.
What a September to be a Hoosier. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whenever you're listening to this. This is the Often Daunted Podcast, and I am your host, Burke White. Welcome to the Often Daunted Podcast, and welcome to the ground floor, episode one of the usual format for the off-season episodes for the video side of things, available on YouTube for any of you listening to audio primarily. Yes, this is the second episode since my venture onto YouTube. So now 106 episodes in on the audio side. Audio is available wherever you get yours. It's been quite a strange September for all of us IU athletics fans, and I'll be sure to wax poetic about SIG at the top of the Indiana news. But just first, I wanted to start the episode saying thank you for tuning in. Genuinely. If this is your first listen, welcome to the Often Daunted Podcast. Guess what? You burned through it all. You went through all the Indiana contact and you found yourself here. Well, I welcome you. You know, this I'm your host, Burke White, and I'm just bringing you the latest headlines, topics on Indiana basketball with an entirely, you know, ignorantly optimistic perspective on the Indiana Hoosiers basketball program. I'm not here to talk X's and O's so much as I am just, you know, read rooms. I wouldn't say vibes based. I'm looking for a synonym. I would say atmosphere based analysis on the Indiana Hoosiers. So just thank you for joining me. And I hope you enjoy my labor of love, genuinely. As we do on every episode. Ooh, sorry. One second. All right. As we do on each episode of the Often Daunted offseason episodes, we're going to start with that Indiana news for you before getting into the national and conference news. Then it is on to Burke's Big Five, this week being my Big Five Big Ten retro logos. You know, just what I think are the sickest old retro logos there are around this conference. All that before previewing the Big Ten season, you know, the Big Ten this upcoming season, Big Ten basketball with a few all teams out there. We're talking all villains. We're talking all imports, all exports here in the preseason with Sonny Verma. That is the host of the Locked On Illini podcast, Illini Cast, and the Big Ten show. Can't thank him enough for coming on. Absolutely. I mean, he's just been a great ally to have as I've taken on this hobby, and I can't thank him enough for doing me this solid. After him, we will get you on out of here with a Hoosier history hit as we usually do. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like the show enough, please feel free to comment, subscribe, leave a review if you're on the podcasting app. If you do want to give me a follow everywhere across all socials at Often Daunted. Yes, if you're new to the show, the name Often Daunted doesn't refer to this program so much as it does my luck and circumstances at any given moment. So the name was conceived prior to SIG showing up and just showing me what the Never Daunted lifestyle meant. And it's going to stick on the show. So I am so happy you found your way to the Often Daunted podcast. So, I mean, with all that out of the way, let's get on to the Indiana news for you.
All right, guys.
All right. Weird ass first 4 weeks of college football, wouldn't you say? I mean, for any Hoosier fan, as it's just, this is unprecedented times we're in. Cignetti's 4-0. This is the first Indiana Hoosier coach to go 4-0. This is unprecedented territory. I can't even stress that enough. Indiana beat Charlotte 52-14 since our last recording to make the new look Hoosiers 4-0. This isn't an Indiana football podcast, but damn, I have to say, I have to say this and possibly set myself up for heartache down the line, but I love the SIG era, and I think I might love IU football now. I think I might LEO didn't work. I love this program. I like this program. I like this program a lot. I like this program enough to show up for the first three home games this season. Like them that much, but now I genuinely love this football program. We have a ball coach. This guy is a certified ball coach. Like, I don't know how else to put it. What, how was Alabama doing prior to Saban showing up? Did Saban just show up and they just never lost again? Because I genuinely am just sitting here feeling like, man, we're never going to lose again. I know that's ridiculous, but Cignetti is so mechanized in the way he is operating this team, with the way he has taken over this program out the gate, that I'm just blown away with how procedural it all is. And it's like, procedural tactics like that are repeatable, and repeatable tactics, I mean, they can create sustainably winning programs. And Kurt Cignetti has not shown us one iota of anything other than that right now. He is creating a wagon and everybody hop on. It's a great time to be a Hoosier football fan. God. One note on that game, though. It was hot. I know, yes, we need to get attendance up. Everyone's sick of hearing it. The Maryland-Big Ten matchup, that'll inevitably just get some asses in the seats, and I truly appreciate that about the nature of the game. But IU football, you want some people at the game. Like, there had to be more fanfare around Oladipo's halftime. Oladipo's getting inducted into the IU Athletics Hall of Fame. You have to have a little more fanfare. You would have had more family showing up. You want families in there for the football season. You want to get them hooked on just this product that Cignetti has delivered us. Why not invite them in for a little meet and greet with, you know, the legend Victor Oladipo? I think that could have went hand in hand a little better, and we could have got some butts in seats. But nonetheless, it was just awesome to be there while Oladipo got that honor. Wearing a sweatshirt was crazy. It was Miller Cops, but nonetheless, wild move. It was so hot. I did stay through the game, though. I'm not fake like that. Enough with football. You guys, it's just going to be such a fun season with Coach Sig at the reins, and I'm on board for the ride, have been. And like I said, I've made the commute from Fort Wayne the last three home games. I can't this upcoming one, but I've done my part. I've done my part when we were at our bare minimum. I'm hoping everybody else can do theirs these next few. All right, now it's on to actual basketball. My look into the Big Ten schedule. You know, we all saw the Big Ten schedule release, and I just had a few thoughts I wanted to share on it. You guys can pull it up. I'm not going to sit here and read you a list of the schools you know we're going to play. I just wanted to talk about, you know, the toughest stretch that I saw there. Just a few standouts about the schedule is what I wanted to talk about. The toughest stretch for sure that I see is at Ohio State University, January 17th through Wisconsin, February 4th. Now, if we're looking at that, that is a run of at Ohio State, at Northwestern, versus Maryland, at Purdue, at Wisconsin. At Purdue, at Wisconsin. That's a tough back-to-back no matter what. Any season, that's going to be tough. I just look at the schedule, and that is the five-game, you know, spread that I see the most trouble in. Oddly enough, I don't see that as our worst drawn game. Easily the worst drawn, whatever the past tense of drawing an opponent is. The worst draw, for sure, was having to play our only matchup with Nebraska in Nebraska as one of those two early season Big Ten matchups, you know, before the holiday break, before we're like, oh, this is Big Ten basketball mode activated. Before all that, we have to take on Nebraska in Nebraska. Tough look. Not only that, this will be the Hoosiers' first game of the season on the road. You know, not counting neutral site Atlantis or the Tennessee Charity Exhibition, this will be Indiana's first true test on the road. And I mean, based on how that environment was last season, that, hey, I'd hate to say it, but that is a daunting proposition, like taking on that opponent that early in the season. I mean, before the holiday, like the last game before the holiday break, that's a tough one. On the schedule, I do see, optimistically, I see Indiana winning every game all the time. I'm an idiot. I wake up every morning thinking, oh, today Indiana wins. That's how this works. That's how I choose to go into each outing of this program, apparently. But I wanted to objectively look at it and see where I see three letdown spots, like three games where Indiana might lose to an opponent that I don't believe they should. Three of those that kind of stood out to me was February 8th versus Michigan. You know, coming off of games in West Lafayette and Madison is tough. Then having to take in Michigan, the guys will be back after those two road games, which will be battles in West Lafayette and Madison. And, you know, you could see them coming in with a little less fire. I mean, they're going to be in friendly confines again after just being in two brutal environments. And if we're not careful, Charlie could Dusty. I'm talking about his son. Dusty might get the best of us there. But I mean, again, these are I'm reaching for letdown spots here because this Indiana team's a wagon. Another one of those is March 8th versus Ohio State. Having to possibly win the Big Ten as the last game of the regular season, and that falls like right after our West Coast trip. Yeah, our two West Coast games coming at the very end, right before our final game at home. That was a bummer to see. You hate to see how that shook out. I tried to look on the other end thinking, you know, after those guys have to do all the traveling that those West Coast schools will have to do, just based on the nature of them joining the conference, they could be very tired around that time. I'm hoping that Indiana can exploit how tired Washington and Oregon both are in that stretch and take advantage and get some big-time away Big Ten games. But that being said, the final and following game at Ohio State, if we're not careful, I see that as a letdown spot. I think we should beat Ohio State then. And the last one is at Iowa, January 11th. This one's far more personal. You know, it seems like in some of my more recently remembered shoulda won that ones with Iowa, Peyton Sanford's red face is screaming at Assembly Hall crowds. And it just really stands out to me. I want to win this one. But, you know, I wish we had more of an opportunity that added a little more weight. That added a little more weight to, you know, a possible loss here for me. And lastly on the schedule, the fact here that it is one game adds more weight to the possibility of a loss here to me. And I just really want to get the best of Peyton here on his last year in Iowa. Lastly, the game of the year that I chose on this schedule release, obviously it's Purdue, February 23rd in Assembly Hall. Huge game. A lot of implications and standings taking their final forms by that time. You know, my second guess would be the final game of the season at against Ohio State in Assembly Hall. Should everything go as well as we all hope it can and the talent on this roster delivers, then that should be a big day no matter what, man. If this is their chance to win their first Big Ten regular season title since 2016, it's going to be a big environment, a huge game. It's going to be talent on the court because I think Ohio State has a lot of talent. It'll set up for a big one. My boldest take on the schedule, you know, I'm going out on a limb here. I'm going to say IU will end the regular season with at least an 8-game winning streak heading into the Big Ten tournament. I'm putting it out there right now. 8-game winning streak to end the season. Like I said before, when talking about the West Coast opponents we have, as far as away goes, those are easy away games. Catching Oregon and Washington at the end, kind of rules, man. They're going to be exhausted. The hours in which they will have logged are going to do a number on that team. There's no way it can't. And on those teams, I mean, I see those games being the primary away games during that. I see Indiana really getting going in March, as Mike Woodson is one to do, and taking an 8-game winning streak into the Big Ten tournament. Yeah, that's my bold take. Following that game in Madison, like, I expect to win in Madison. I expect to win in West Lafayette. I always do. I'm ignorantly optimistic, y'all. It's my curse. It's my cross to bear. But objectively, following that Madison game, I expect to win out. It may be unfair, but man, the talent on this roster, logically, I don't see it not working out like that. I know that's dumb. All right. Hey, Miller, I wanted to bring up Miller and the Hoosier Connect organization, their podcast, Players Perspective. They just keep getting top-notch interviews for anybody who gives a damn about this program. And Miller just had Coach Blair Walsh on, and hearing Blair Walsh talk about the trump card that Indiana has, about the network that follows you, not years, decades down the line. Like, it just hit me right in the rah-rahs. I just wanted to bring it up because I would think you guys should check it out if you haven't. Obviously, you probably have if you found this somehow. So, yeah, just they continue to put out some great stuff right now, and I'm just locked in on it. As is a recurring theme here on the Often Daunted podcast, no news is often good news. And one of the larger bits of news coming out of Indiana basketball since our last recording is sadly the announcement of an internal investigation into sexual abuse allegations made by a former basketball player. The doctor in question, the school's comfortable with saying his name, so I will too. Dr. Brad Bamba served as a contracted physician for several Indiana teams, including the men's basketball program, for decades up until the late 90s. And as far as the details, I'll save you the details of the allegations. You can find them yourself if you're so inclined. But basically, the purpose of the investigation, according to IU's official statement, in response to learning of the allegation, the university retained Jones Day, an international law firm with experience in sensitive and similar investigations, to conduct an independent review. The review will include witness interviews, a review of available documentation, and engagement with medical experts to determine, one, the background facts related to the annual physicals of IU student athletes conducted by Dr. Bamba, two, if the conduct was appropriate, necessary, or within the standard of care, and three, what the medical professionals and athletic department or university officials were aware of the conduct, and if warranted, what action did they take? From the statement by IU, to be clear, this is a fully independent and comprehensive investigation that will follow the facts. Indiana University will abide by its findings and take any warranted actions. To protect the integrity of the investigation, the institution will refrain from further comment while the review is going on. Woof. Okay. That was a fun one. I mean, hey, some recruiting notes to follow, guys. Tune in. Stick around. We have a commitment to celebrate. Yeah, bummer. Bummer report coming out about allegations of, sexual abuse allegations and dirty business there. So just wanted to bring that to your attention if you weren't aware. I think we should be. Whatever his availability come the tip of the season. Yeah, I'm bringing up the photo that Trey tweeted out. Trey tweeted out a photo of Ja'Kai Newton. And this photo was ridiculous. This photo was ridiculous, okay? I'm saying whatever the hell, like, his ability at the tip of the season, we need this guy. This dude, I looked at this picture. I said, is that my point guard or my right outside linebacker? This dude is a unit. He would be able to body any of the guards in this conference right now. God, Ja'Kai, I pray for your swift recovery, man. We need you. You know, I'm always rooting for you, man. Again, if you're new to the show, the Often Daunted podcast, I am Burke White. I am the official president of the Ja'Kai Newton fan club. Welcome to the fan club just by viewing this. I just wrote down this note really quick. Must have been during my lunch break or something. Just during the time of that Charlotte game, there had to be a reception in the evening prior or that later that evening or something. But man, I got some good family reunion photos sent across the socials. I got to see some of my favorite Indiana teammates just up there, like my favorite teammates on my favorite Indiana teams all together, just back there supporting their guy, Victor Oladipo. And we all saw Tom Crean was on campus, right there repping Oladipo as well. It was great to see, and I just wanted to shout out all those guys for showing up. It means a lot when guys continue to come back to this program. And it's stuff like that that we can sell. That's that trump card that Coach Walsh is talking about. Indiana had media day, and I did want to get into that, dig into it, but it was just a lot of what you wanted to hear. You wanted to hear that this team evaluated the issues they had, went out and addressed it. You wanted to hear that they're hitting the ground running, that we're going to be playing faster, we're going to be looking to get up and down the floor. Mike Woodson was sure to address that. Mike Woodson was sure to address that Luke Goody and McKenzie would be involved in far more small ball options for this team, which is an exciting prospect after it seemed that so many times we were, he seemed hesitant to go to that. But other than that, it was just another media day. You know, nothing crazy is going to come out at an Indiana institutional media day. It's just awesome to see the guys out, see them all getting together. Awesome to hear how Balo was intrigued or was just impressed with the development that Kalel Ware had, you know, knowing him as a player he went up with in the conference prior. It was awesome to see that he was impressed by his development, and that was an influencing factor in him getting to Indiana. I'm sure there was a few other nice reasons that he joined the cause, but that standing out is it really helps. That is awesome. Like it's if we can continue to prove that, we can develop guys who may have floundered out elsewhere. These big guys with big talent who just need another chance. That's a nice spot to be if you're looking to entice some transfers. So it's media day. All in all, I give it a. I mean, no, nothing crazy. Nothing crazy. So that's all on that. I tried to make more of it. You guys, they didn't give me much. You know, Miles is fast, I'm hearing. And guys are bigger. Guys are bigger, stronger, and faster. That's what you wanted to hear, right? We heard it. All right. Let's get into the... Oh, sorry. Right before I get into recruiting, this is it, I promise. Last note. If you're complaining about TikToks, social posts, or anything else like that, like you're old and it's not for you, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. I'm 31 and I know it's not for me. Every generation will never understand the generations to follow. And all they can do is know that understanding it is ultimately a futile effort in pretty much most cases. Also, I used to wear flat bills, like flat bills, that for teams I could give a shit about. And they were shimmering in the sun because I had stickers that was like, yo, 7 3/4 MLB certified shimmering hats with flat bill and a Justin Bieber haircut underneath. And I used to have to do that thing where kids go. And like make their hair fall back. I fell for all of it. You guys, we all fall for all of it. So just let the kids be kids. They're still in college. Take it easy. You know, I just really want people to take a second and just think, you know, who hasn't done their generation's closest comp to something like that, throw the first stone. That's all I have to say. Because we all have. We all have. Whatever your TikTok dances were, you were doing it. If you weren't, your friends were doing it, and your friends were probably cooler. So, let's get on to recruiting. Ladies and gentlemen, the first domino has dropped, and much sooner than last season's. When it rains, it pours in recruiting, and I'm glad we got our first massive addition in Trent Sisley. Everyone play the song. Welcome, Trent Sisley, to the Indiana Hoosiers basketball program. Thank you for joining the cause, man. Thank you for joining the right cause. You know what I'm talking about. Credit to the Indiana staff for getting this one done. Absolutely. Sounds like Walsh was the point man here, and Mike Woodson is able to snag his guy out from the clutches of those who would consider him theirs. I love it. The 6'7 Heritage Hills product, who was just recently transferred to Montverde, I mean, ever heard of it, for his senior season, is a huge pickup and the start that this team needed to kick off recruiting for the next class. Trent Sisley, his size, his ability to stretch the floor, he is the shooting four that, you know, these modern day offenses want. And this is a big get. This is a huge get, a massive win after just a month in which Indiana can't stop getting wins. Indiana, the school, the institution, may never lose again. We may never lose again. Speaking of recruiting, never losing again. Sorry, I'm feeling very confident about Jalen Harrison. Again, I don't know jack shit about the operation, anything going on revolving around it. Entirely atmosphere-based. Again, not saying vibes because it's just everywhere now. Entirely atmosphere-based. I like it. I like the odds, man. Jalen Harrison canceled his official visits to both Kansas and Missouri and has announced that his commitment should be in the near future. That was I had mentioned that before he had canceled a visit to Purdue, and then also whittled down that list to three schools that he will be making his final selection on Wednesday at 7 o'clock on. So honestly, I think I'm getting this episode out Wednesday. So hopefully you're listening to this and we already know that Jalen Harrelson is a Hoosier. In which, please tune into the Often Daunted next week, and I'm just going to geek out over Jalen Harrelson. The 6'6 guard and Team USA member is every bit as talented as his five-star rating would have you believe. And just Monday, you know, like I said, the recording of just Monday as my time of recording, Harrelson has whittled it down to Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Indiana. Yeah, this is a huge addition. This guy, Trent at the four, we're getting a solid base going for this. I would say solid base. These are two crazy talented players. Insane, like, just how well this is going right now. Yes, I can't get ahead of myself. I'm going to slow down. I promise. But I'm just feeling good about it. And hey, if we don't get him Wednesday, we'll get the next guy that comes available. It is a loosey goosey, you know, good. I'm going to say vibes here. Good vibes, good atmosphere going for this recruiting right now. I'm just feeling good on it. I can't elaborate any further. It's just all feels. That's what I'm deciding to report on. Since last episode, five-star point guard Mikkel Brown Jr. has had his official visit 2 weekends ago, and all word appears like it sounds like it really went off without a hitch, and he was really impressed by Indiana's pitch. Just a five-star point guard, huge get on a visit here, you know, but that was also almost eclipsed. I wouldn't say eclipsed because I want you, Mikkel. Come join the cause, man. You're a big deal to me. This last weekend in B-Town, we had the privilege of hosting an absolutely massive trio in recruiting, with that being Eric Ribe, Trent Sisley, who we locked the hell up. We locked him up. He's ours. Sorry, Purdue. Purdue thought they had Trent Sisley money. They don't. They got Caleb First money. And Braylon Mullins. Braylon Mullins was also on campus. hey, we're having fun here in the offseason. Our football team's undefeated. We got all the talent in the world heading to town right now. Just, hey, commitments are rolling in. Vibes are good. Atmosphere is good. Atmosphere is good. All right, let's get on to the next one. All right, at the top of the national news, I just wanted to say prayers to Coach Keady and his family. Purdue men's basketball announced just Monday. Last week, Coach Keady suffered a small stroke and was taken to the hospital for evaluation. He has been transferred to a rehab facility and is expected to make a full recovery. Coach thanks everyone for their well wishes. Genuinely, at the end of the day, these guys are legends. This is a Purdue legend right here. Even though I did emphasize preface legend with Purdue, nonetheless, it's Gene Keady. Like him and Bobby, you got the Joker's got the Batman's got to have his Joker. their stories are intertwined, and I got to respect the hell out of the guy just as the basketball institution he was able to become. And, yeah, prayers to him and his family, prayers to the program. On to the Pac-12 news I got for you here. Out of the ashes, everyone heard about it, arises a zombified Pac-12 earlier this month. Yes, it has been that long since we last recorded. Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, and San Diego State will join Oregon State and Washington State to begin filling out the Pac-12 with new blood. And, you know, with eight, they were halfway to a full conference, if you ask me. But awesome to see these other conferences making moves nonetheless. You know, they're making the best of a bad situation and trying to position themselves for the future. I respect the hustle. I respect the grind of these guys. And, you know, Monday, it was just today as my time of recording, there was a report of Gonzaga throwing their hat in the Pac-12 ring. Now, since then, John Rosting has come out and said there is no truth behind that, and Gonzaga is not in talks with the join. So I don't know where that got so much buzz or how it had so much traction. But apparently Gonzaga will not be joining that conference, even though kind of, yeah, it makes sense for Gonzaga. I don't know. That would be a big get for that conference for sure. I thought the next logical choice for that conference would be, you know, picking apart the rest of the Mountain West. I don't even know where you go from there. Adding Air Force, whatever. But all this to say, we thought we had Gonzaga in the Pac-12, and then we didn't on Monday. So another story that has been getting national news around the conference since our last time of recording was Bob Roerman's kin trying to pull some shit. If this were an IU alum, I'd absolutely want us to disavow. But Bob Roerman, you know, regional dealership mogul and late 90s Indiana commercial legend. Now I don't know what to believe about that name. You know, Zachary Spangle, student at Purdue University, kicked a 20, 30, and 40-yard field goal to win a Kicks for Cash competition during halftime at the Purdue versus Indiana State football game. You know, it's so wild. He hit all of this, and you know, while putting on possibly the most athletically impressive display a Boilermaker will have in Ross-Ade Stadium all season, Bob Roerman's kids were trying to swindle him out of getting his car because the ball went through the uprights with 0.07 seconds left, or 0.07 seconds after the clock expired. Now I said, okay, it's a kicking competition. If you get the kick up, the clock doesn't matter. But I mean, apparently Bob Roerman went out, hired some PR firm, really wanted to walk this back. And also, you know, they wanted to have their cake and eat it too, in, you know, saving face, but then also not having to pay this guy. But, all things come out, he has a 2-year lease now. And, that's the end of that story. That's a heck of a PR dragging for the Roerman automotive dealerships around town with the I just keep imagining the entire Roerman box immediately after that incident. The kick goes through 0.07 seconds, you know, just past it, you know. In football, that means he got it. But I imagine the Roerman box at Ross-Ade, a room full of just Jackie Moons not trying to pay Duke, just refusing to pay Duke. His foot was on the line. That had to be a sight to see. I would have loved to see that room sweat. News within Indiana basketball, like Indiana collegiate basketball. Caitlin Clark's boyfriend and former Hawkeye Connor McCaffrey will be replacing Greg Oden as assistant under Thad Matta at Butler. And I want to know more about what's going on here with Thad Matta and the McCaffreys. Why is Thad adopting so many McCaffreys? I'm keeping tabs on this whole operation, and I promise you, if you like, tune in, because I'm reporting everything I know about this, because something stinks here. I don't know what's going on with this. Tune into the Often Daunted podcast for more. Michigan State. Let's talk about Michigan State. Michigan State seems to be getting some love from Vegas following un siesta en la España. In August of 2024, the Michigan State men's basketball team traveled to Spain for a preseason trip that included three exhibition games and a chance to bond as a team. Those three games were against the Madrid All-Stars, the Valencia All-Stars, and the Serbian club KKFM, and their results were as followed. The game against the Madrid All-Stars was a close one with a score of 94-87. The Valencia All-Stars were less competitive with a score of 105-59 in favor of the Spartans. And the Serbian club KKFMP held them to a close one, but also lost the game. The Spartans lost that game 115-110. And they were sure to point out those were seasoned professionals. All this to say, this trip seems to have really given them a Vegas bump. And this is, again, a Michigan State offseason Vegas bump that I just don't know where it's coming from. We do this shit every year. And last year, there was like at least anything to point to and be like, yeah, there's that. They have all that veteran coming back. Like, they have all that veteran leadership coming back. There's just so much development just to be expected on this team. The competition level is not supposed to affect Fiddler at all. I think this is a different Izzo. The curmudgeon era has just not been worn very well by him. And I think this is just a huge misstep by anyone who is investing anything in this team. What Michigan State are we talking about? Michigan State will, like, I don't get it. Other Michigan State news, when we saw the schedule releases, we saw that Michigan State will take on Rutgers in Madison Square Garden as a Rutgers home game. And I would hate this shit. If you're playing in New York City, that is a neutral game. This is the Big Ten, okay? We play home games in our venues. This is crazy. Honestly, I keep thinking about it. There has to be that more Rutgers alumni in New York than Michigan State. There has to be. That being said, I'm sure there are plenty of Michigan State alumni in New York. And that's just an unfair setup for the Rutgers. I hope did Rutgers elect to do that? Did they want to do that? Because that's wild. We have some news and some justice possibly for Terrence Shannon. Per Jaina Wiersema with NewsGazette.com, a former Illini basketball star and his mother are claiming that local officials mishandled an accusation of sexual assault against the athlete and owe them $12 million for loss of income, attorney's fees, and other damages, including emotional distress. Terrence Shannon Jr. is seeking damages totaling a little over $11.5 million, and his mother, Trinette Redding, is seeking $500,000. The mother and son are represented by Rose Tanner and Rob Lang of Thompson, Coburn, LLP, and Mark Sutter of Sutter Law Group. And I have to say, pay the man. You dragged his name with the R word. Pay the man. Justice for Terrence. Honestly, I'm like, give him his money. You guys, that's crazy. He would have gotten drafted higher. He would have made more money. His name wouldn't have, his name is, guess what? It was out there. The headline was out there. You can't take that back. Least you can do is give him $12 million. Jesus. All right. We have some Andy Katz lists. Yes. I wanted to dig into Andy Katz. Just, he is cooking right now. Not all great meals, but nonetheless, let's get into some of them. Andy Katz, top 16 guards in college basketball next season. And I just wanted to bring up the Big Ten players throughout all these. I couldn't really care about anyone else. But no love lost for the Hoosiers in the guards, as no Hoosiers to be seen in his top 16 guards for college basketball next season. And understandably so. You know, we are young and new, but I think with what's proven, we'll have a guy here by season end. We will. I say young and new, but then he also has Dylan Harper as number one. So that's not really defending it against his list, I guess. Braden Smith, number five, Bruce Thornton, number seven. I took a look at his list of top 16s. top 16 wings. Sorry, this again, this is the video side. You're going to get a little less edited audio. His top 16 wings, I took insult in. I did. No McKenzie and Bacco. Get the hell out of here, Andy. Get real. If he just comes back as he left, he's all Big Ten. If he got any better in the offseason, which I'm sure he did, he will make it onto national radars this year, no question. He has Ace Bailey at number 3 and Dawson Garcia at number 4. Andy's top 16 big men. Let's talk about that. We finally got some love shown to us at number 8. You know, just a proven vet who dominates in the paint in Umar Ballo. That being said, there is an unproven big here at number 5, Derek Queen, who Andy's showing a lot of love here, man. I mean, yeah, I'm pissed we missed out on Derek Queen. I am. Derek Queen. But immediately, number 5 is crazy. That's wild, especially with a Kevin Willard, especially in a Kevin Willard led program. Number 7, he had Great Osbor. Again, with how much they paid him, you're going to need to give me Hall of Fame Osbor. Andy's top 16 defenders. Where did any of the Indiana Hoosiers find themselves on there? Absolutely nowhere. Nowhere on there right now. This team needs to step it up big defensively to be making it on Sir Katz's list like this, and rightfully so. I don't blame him at all for that. Our team has a lot to show on that end. Only Big Ten rep here was Ace Baldwin Jr., and no objections from me. That guy is just scrappy. His hands are constantly moving on that ball, and it's relentless from him. That's all I had on Mr. Katz's list until his next 17 I'll have by our next recording. So be sure to subscribe, like, and all that to the show. Thank you. Adrian Woj quit. Yeah, you guys all heard about that. He absolutely quit. And will become the St. Bonaventure's new general manager. It sounds like an NIL-oriented job. It sounds like he's just going to be getting connections in the program, getting guys on campus, hoping to pay them right. He is leaving ESPN for the Atlantic 10, which is an interesting move. Must be an interesting move, but then this also must be just the cushiest gig. Like, I don't imagine he's leaving for much stress. So, good for him, I guess. And lastly, on the national news, I wanted to share my thoughts on the 10. Yeah, you wanted to know what my thoughts on the $10 talent fee from Tennessee is, because, you know, who won it? Who won it? Thoughts on that $10 talent fee on the Tennessee tickets in order to pay players in the NIL programs. Like, they should have the money to pay these guys, but I'm always in the camp of pay more for better product. Like, give us all more of a right to bitch if it all goes wrong. Like, if I'm paying for a talent fee and we lose, I'm gonna bitch. So I like, this is a risk reward. You want to do that? You're gonna get the smoke that comes with having taken my talent fee. That's just how I feel about it. It's to each their own. But I think programs open themselves up to a lot of disgruntled individuals if fees like this keep popping up to little to no results, if they were to not win and no fan gets some ROI on these constant investments they're being asked to make. That's just my thought on it. All right. Starting off Burke's Big 5 here. I have at number 5, Oregon's 1994 to 1998 logo. This is by far the most blatantly Donald Duck version of the Oregon Duck just raging through a sidewards facing O. I think it's clean. You know, the tribute to Donald Duck. It's just a clean logo. I like it. 1982 to 2000, my number 4, sorry, number 4 on the Burke's Big 5 is 1982 to 2002 Indiana's shadowed logo. You know, same trident, same tried and true visage, just a little more added depth. Look at it. It looks beautiful. I like the logo. It's clean. I like I like the logo we're using right now, but it just looks a little screen printy. Like, it looks a little cheap compared to something with some depth, with some weight like this thing. Next, Big Ten Retro logo, number three, is the 1960 to 1986 Minnesota Golden Gophers logo. Look at this guy. I said my point guard looks like my right outside linebacker. That gopher looks like a solid, solid five-star edge rusher. And that's a sick logo. My second logo, while I think the others have been more fun in the Donald Duck and the gopher, I have to say, as far as mascots go, and you want something intimidating, my number two is the 1948 to 1957 Wisconsin Badgers logo. Look at this thing. What is he carrying? Why does he have an actual shank in his hand? Do Badgers have like quills or something that they can move and use defensively? Because it looks like he's carrying a prison shank. And that's a wild logo. It's an intimidating logo. He's scary enough in the face alone, but he also is carrying a shank. So terrifying. And my number one, this is the best Big Ten logo. And I saw that they are utilizing it in some of their recruiting photos now. And that is something to be alarmed of, because it's the meanest logo in the Big Ten. Look at this guy. Look at that face. It's a facial expression saying, I'm disappointed that you even thought you belonged on the same plane of competition as me. This is the Iowa 56 to 79 logo. And look at that. Again, look at that face. Hawkeye isn't a bird, so they made one. And damn, that's an intimidating. That bird knows he has the best of me. And I'm glad they quit utilizing this logo so heavy. A shame to see they are starting to again. Yeah, that was Perk's Big Five for this week. So let's get you on to the segment with Sonny. All right. I am so happy to welcome back onto the show Sonny Verma with the Illini Cast, with the Big Ten Show, with Locked On Illini. This is a man of many hats right now. And he is, and a lot of people are trying to get his attention right now with how good Illinois has been. And before we get started, man, let's just cheers to being as good as we are at football. It's crazy.
Football schools, look at us. Look, it's like that meme, right? Look at us. You know, we're everything schools, Illinois and Indiana, just like everyone predicted.
I cannot thank you enough for coming on, taking the time away just to speak on some hoops, even though we are obviously just two basketball or football schools here, just, you know.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out a way to talk some basketball in the summer. I can't thank you enough for coming on. Sonny, I just wanted to have you on to dig into some, just throw out some off-season bullshit summer all teams. We did a little different, wanted to focus on all export, all transfer. Oh, shoot. What else do we got on that list?
A Big Ten team.
What did we cut it down to? That's right. Yes. And a sincere all Big Ten team. And so, again, I can't thank him enough. Sonny, you want to introduce yourself at all? I mean, I did so great before. Sure.
But I mean, it's an honor to come on here. Thank you so much. I'm so glad. I was telling you before we started recording that you wanted to jump into the YouTube space as well. My name's Sonny Verma. If you're looking for Illini content, you can find me. I make content literally every single day on the Locked On Illini channel. I also make content weekly on the Illini Cast. That's a little bit more long form, and I go back and forth with the community a little bit. But as you know, I also have another show called Big Ten Show, which is kind of weekly. We're trying to do that weekly, where we basically just try to tackle a story from one particular team. And whatever the big story is. So, yeah, busy. And if you're a football fan, if you're a Chicago Bears fan, you can find me on Bears on Tap every Sunday. So, yeah, I try to keep the schedule busy. But, I'll always take on the opportunity when you call.
Hey, guys, I'm telling you, it's great stuff. He's one of the good ones, okay? I know we all have our preconceived notions of Illini fans, but Sonny's one of the good ones. I can back that up.
Appreciate that.
All right, and let's just get right into it, man. Let's quit beating around the bush. Let's go. You want to get it started with that all export team. Let's start with the exports. Who now just setting up the backstory of how we're going to this team description. These are going to be five players who left the Big Ten, who we each think are going to have better scenarios, better environment, maybe they're landing into better situations wherever they go. And yeah, where do you start on your five?
I'll go with the all Wisconsin backcourt. I think Chucky Hepburn, basically Louisville needs a guy like Chucky Hepburn. You know, that program right now is just kind of a dumpster fire. Chucky Hepburn's the type of guy who I think Wisconsin fans were actually more genuinely hurt that Chucky left than that AJ left, even though AJ's, you know, the star player from last year's team. I think Chucky brings in a little stability, you know, veteran leadership, and the type of character that honestly Louisville just kind of needs right now. And I just kind of spoiled it. AJ Storr's the other one. Not that he's going to necessarily get any better now that he's at Kansas, but I think now AJ might have been a little too big for Wisconsin, if that makes sense. Now he gets to play for a national championship. I think he's going to be one of the prominent names basically in the country next year when you talk about putting it together like the national teams. And so I have the all Wisconsin backcourt. I'm going to jump to the front court real quick, and the power forward and center, and this is me showing that I'm not biased, are Illini guys. And you know, not that it's too much of a surprise, we're replacing 10 new guys from the roster last season. And so at center, I put Coleman Hawkins just because I have a lot of respect for Kansas State, and I think they've got a very good coach over there. And I think a guy like Coleman could do really well for that program and could possibly elevate them into that Elite Eight, Final Four, and who knows beyond. And the other guy, Dane Danger. I think Dane Danger was like, zone. Yeah, he was a favorite of a lot of guys, including Illini fans. It seems like every time we threw him the ball down low, he was able to score. Now, his style didn't necessarily fit with what the offense that Tyler Underwood and Brad Underwood were running with the Illini last year. But in Memphis, I'm telling you, genuinely, this guy could average 15-plus points a game, grab 9-plus rebounds a game. It's all going to be, you know, junk stats. I don't think it's going to be worth anything, but if there's anyone that can be a box score warrior, it's going to be Danger.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Oh, and I got one position left, and this is cheating. I told you this.
No.
But I can't imagine you not letting me put this one on.
Oh, I'm going to let you. I saw it. I'm going to let you put him on.
So at small forward, again, technically he was a Big Ten guy, and then he went to BYU, and that's Cannon Catchings from Purdue to BYU. This was a kid who, again, one thing you and I will share a mutual feeling on is Purdue fans. All offseason long, for the past year, we kept hearing about how good this Cannon Catchings freshman was going to be, that he was going to be the next star that they had, that they were going to pair with Braden Smith. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to go ahead and put him on this list, because if he's going to be a star, then Purdue lost out on a star. And then, you know, I think he kind of fits the mold of what you're looking for in this category.
Honestly, he'd stretch out the floor just how they need this year. And yeah, of course, we're going to let you use that one, man. You guys see what I'm talking about? He's one of the good ones. He knows who to play K2. That's a showman. That is a guy helming three different shows right there. God. All right. Hey, I want to throw out some of mine. All right. Yeah, I had it. Tony Perkins. Mm-hmm. Tony Perkins, man. He's just so talented. What's it going to take for Mizzou to figure it out?
You know, obviously Illinois and Missouri have
such a strange case year after year, but yeah, I feel like something can happen there for him. Tony Perkins, I wanted him when he was on the transfer portal. I thought that he'd be a good fit at Indiana. I'm so much more happy with the way it all shook out, but sure. big loss for the conference right there with that export. Another one, a dominant Big Ten point guard last year, Elijah Hawkins. Elijah Hawkins heading to Texas Tech, right?
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Yeah. I mix up him and one other person on my top five, or the, my export five here. That being Pharrell Payne, I'll just say it. They're both heading to Texas, both of them heading out of the Minnesota Golden Gophers program. That it's what are they going to be able to sustain any talent? What is the NIL situation there? Do you have any idea of what's going on? Or every time that they have anything of promise, is it run out of town?
It's so, I mean, it's kind of sad, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't feel bad for the football team because, you know, PJ Fleck is not a very likable coach, but, you know, Valentine is like, it's their basketball program. They're one of the best stories of all of Big Ten, not just Big Ten, but college basketball last year. And yet what happens? They basically lose everybody. And now they're starting from scratch. And like you said, I don't know. It's one of those where I don't know why a coach would want to go there necessarily. Like it's truly becoming one of the worst jobs in the Big Ten because they just don't have – I don't know if their NIL is just stronger on the football side, and on the basketball side they're just a little more apathetic. But, I mean, that roster turnover when – it's one thing when you're turning over your roster because you've got seniors and juniors and whatnot, but it's basically anyone who is remotely talented got tampered with and basically is going to be playing somewhere else next year.
Or just force themselves in the NBA like Christie. I don't know why. Right. He should, yeah, for sure had another year. But all right, other than those four that I just went through, I had Jamie Kaiser heading to play at Butler. I think that this is going to be a nice little change for him, heading under Thad Matta, getting out of the shadow of Willard, getting out of the stank of whatever's going on with him offensively. I see green grass for him in Indianapolis. I think it'll work well. Indiana was interested on him, of course. I believe he had the talent the whole time. It just didn't shake out in Maryland. And then I already listed my five, but just one more, just throwing it out, Cliff Omorui. Sure. More so not just because the talent, I still just think that's so weird how that all shook out. Yes, it's so hard to find 1 point whatever million dollars laying around for a guy, but him looking to get out of that situation, welcoming in what is the hypest season in Rutgers history, he doesn't want to be a part of that. Like that says something. Like, I don't know what it is. I just wanted to bring him up because I wanted to make that note, and that Rutgers needs to also pump their brakes.
You know, if we're going to add one extra guy, and even though he's jumping from Big Ten to Big Ten, this is an Indiana show. So I did want to bring up Luke Goody. I think he's leaving a situation for another situation, which honestly might be best for Luke. You know, him going home, obviously every time we played in the Hoosiers, it was always about how did the Hoosiers let this guy go? How did he not, become a Hoosier right off the bat? So now that he's an upperclassman, he's got a year or two left. You know, if he can finish out and have a couple solid seasons, I think as much as I don't like to say it because I'm an Illini fan, and of course we're probably going to be competing directly, it's kind of the beauty of college sports when you have stories like this. And so, you know, I think Goody could be an absolutely good fit with Indiana. I'm not sure. I think I saw a tweet earlier about that they were contemplating putting him at the four in a lineup. And
Mike Woodson said during media day he's looking to just run a lot more. But I mean, that's media day, and of course every single reporter, every single Twitter bot, everybody's just like, why is this team so slow? Why is this team stagnant? So I don't put so much into it. He said that McKenzie was going to be rocking at the four as well, but like, okay, so we're not going to start Malik and Umar off the bat. Like that's right, not going to happen. So it's media day, but
fair enough. Yeah. As long as you don't make Goody play too much defense, in particular at the four, before he would get destroyed. I hope genuinely that that has a happy ending outside our matchups.
I like it. All right. I mean, hey, we talked about who was leaving the Big Ten. Now we're going to be talking about who's coming in. All right. This is your Big Ten All Transfer 5. Who you got first?
Let's start with Kylan Boswell for my Illini. You know, former 5-star. It was basically down to Illinois or Arizona when he was about to make his college pick. He grew up in Champaign, but his family had moved out to Arizona, and the staff there had built a relationship with him. And ultimately, he decided to become a Wildcat. 2 years later, things didn't quite work out, and so he's come back home, and he's going to be counted on. I've said this before already. We're placing 9 or 10 guys on the roster from last year, and Boswell is the guy who has experience playing at a high level, at a high, like, arguable, you know, blue blood program. I think we're going to be counting on him because we're going to be counting on a lot of freshman talent this year. And so a guy like Kylan, who we're hoping at this point, I mean, he may be entering his third year, but he's still only 19 years old. He started playing college basketball at 17. And so that's kind of what I attribute to some of the struggles. Wow. Imagine being a 17-year-old kid in college. I can see myself getting distracted every now and then. So I start off with Kylan as my point. I have two wings here. I didn't really find a shooting guard, but Danny Wolf was a guy that I really liked and a guy who I wanted to come to Illinois. I think he ultimately ended up in Michigan. I just really like his game, and I think he's a guy who I might bring up later as a potential guy who may very well become an all Big Ten player this year. Also, St. Thomas, who I believe is at USC now, he comes from the same school, Northern Colorado, that Dalton Knecht came from last year when he went to Tennessee. His numbers look fantastic. The scouting report that I was reading about him looked really solid. And I kind of want to have some West Coast representation. I didn't want to have our new
brother. I feel like I need to almost acquaint myself to that. Like, there's gonna be some growing pains, and they need to understand that.
I still feel weird talking about it like on the football side. You know, it's just like this weekend, it's like an Oregon versus UCLA. They're playing each other in football, and I just got done talking about it on my Big Ten show. Like, Oregon versus UCLA, like, it
doesn't, you know, Big Ten football.
Screen
Big Ten football.
So hopefully I'll get the hang of it, once basketball season rolls around.
But I'm saying, like, those fan bases also need to recognize that, you know, it's going to take us a while to actually hate you as much as you guys want us to hate you right off the bat.
Right. We're a little more apathetic right now.
You guys are real excited about this. We're going to test the water.
Exactly right. Then I had Omar Ballou. Like, obviously, for me, it was trying to decide which Indiana guy I wanted to go with.
Yeah.
I just think he's got the highest floor of anyone. And when it comes to that position, I wasn't really sure who's going to kind of contend with him on the transfer side. And then the highest paid guy on the list, what's the name? Great Asabar. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Great Asabar.
Obviously Mountain West Player of the Year. You know, like, obviously he's skillful. And so, you know, again, just trying to show that West Coast some love.
I like you trying to show them some love, but man, I must not have seen any of his games last year. Great Osborne. I keep looking at the measurables. I'm like, yeah, that was in the Mountain West. It's a way slower, more brutal game here. I don't know if the way he scored really translates to any of the competition, but I mean, hey, they went out and did it. You got to make moves, and their first season in the Big Ten, credit to them for making a splash.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are my five. Let's hear yours.
All right. My five all transfers. I did get a little greedy, and I did go double up on some Hoosiers, but it does make sense.
It was coming. I knew it was coming. It
does make sense because I put Omar Ballou on here because if he's just dominating the boards, cleaning up the glass, and nobody's like really fighting him down low, they're going to get him in there. But then I put Miles Rice on here as well, just because if Indiana becomes if we're competing next year, if we're everything that we want to be, the rest of the nation will look to him as like the catalyst for everything that's going on, because we will have to have had some kind of ball movement in the backcourt that we just have lacked over the last three, or honestly, the TJD era almost. Mm-hmm. Like that's if we want to get to the expectations that deep down all Hoosier fans have. They can lie to themselves. They're expecting great things this year. Kasperis, I put Kasperis on here. Kasperis Jack Kusionis. I need you to kind of. I put him on here almost just to bring him up to you,
Aren't we doing Big Ten transfer?
Yeah, coming in.
Oh, I mean, he's a freshman. That's why I didn't put him.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I guess.
Why I was just confused.
That was my bad. No, I did bad, but I'm going to put him on here anyway.
It's your show.
I'm counting these Euro guys as just being like actually 25-year-old men.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I was just a little confused. Did we jump ahead?
Sorry, my bad.
No, my bad.
Kasparis, Jack Kousionis. I'm counting him on my transfers. He's coming in from overseas. What's this kid all about? I mean, it sounds like he's had a huge summer. Gained a lot of ground and traction and just recruiting. But
exactly. You talk about, like, he really ended up being one of the most talked about players, I feel like, in the country when it comes to, new recruits coming in. And most of the nation, including me, hadn't even heard of him, like, in the beginning of July. Essentially, Illinois was going to go hard after, A.J. Storr. And they went hard after David Jones and a couple other players. Ultimately, it didn't work out. Then we have a very strong international scouting staff as well. And so we were out in Spain scouting, what's his name, Igor Denim, one of supposedly a top if not top 10 projected pick out in Spain. He plays for Real Madrid, I believe. And ultimately, he decided to go to BYU because BYU's got unlimited funds when it comes to NIL. But almost serendipitous, almost by accident, while we were scouting Denim, there was this other kid who, in their one-on-one matchups, was balling up Denim, and that's Kasparis Jakusionis. And all of a sudden, we started getting in on him. He played for Barcelona, and this kid is like, I don't understand how a kid like this talented, goes so long without being noticed. Like, really, at one point, the only team that was recruiting him, I believe, was Wake Forest for the longest time until Illinois jumped in. And now, essentially, as soon as he committed to Illinois, that's when social media started really, like, all the top international accounts are talking about Kasparis and, like, the numbers that he's throwing out there in the FIBA tournaments and whatnot. I look at him as the guy who's probably going to be the best player on Illinois next year. You're talking about a 6'5", 6'6" guard who just does everything. He can shoot. He can score. But he's always looking to pass. Like, he's one of those Europeans. It's not cookie cutter, but like Luka, like, where you can score, but also tries to make a flashy pass here and there.
Yeah.
I think I'm really excited about this backcourt of Boswell and Jakusionis. I think it could do a lot of damage. And it's nice because if one guy gets injured or in foul trouble, Kasparis can play the point guard spot. And so, like, he's got that little flexibility. He's going to be a guy who I know he's been hyped up already this summer since he signed on with Illinois. But I think there's going to be a huge spotlight on Kasparis once the season starts as well, just because people are going to want to see if he's living up to it.
Yeah, and credit to that flexibility. That is what Brad Underwood does. He makes sure that he has that every year.
He's fantastic. Yeah, in my opinion, he's might be top three in the entire country when it just comes to when everything looks like it's burning down around you. He just adjusts his strategy, and he's not afraid to change. Coaches in our conference who are considered legends who are very stubborn and they refuse to change and adapt. Brad Underwood has never let that stand in his way, and I think that's why he's essentially one of the top coaches in the country now.
Yeah. I mean, no, I can't argue with that. Other than that, I had Frankie Fiddler. I think he's going to come in. I think he's going to be responsible for a lot of their production with how much they have leaving campus, with how much they have unproven on campus. Which also, did you see they got like jumped up to second in Vegas to win the Big Ten or something?
No, I did not really.
Yeah, no, that we're doing it again. Everyone's doing it all over again, but this time there's no evidence to even point to. There's no seniors to point to. I don't get it. I have no idea what's going on.
I gotta look into that.
I guess they had a big overseas trip and everyone's going nuts about it. But there's Aaron Bradshaw. I think Aaron Bradshaw is going to be a big time get for the Ohio State Buckeyes because I saw, I mean, Power Five McDonald's All Americans, get him their sophomore bump. You're, right. you're going to get something out of that guy. And yeah, lastly was Umar Ballo.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I think he's other probably than that.
Yeah. I mean, the issue there is minutes because he hasn't always played that many minutes, but I mean, he's not coming here. Not he's not coming here to sit. We didn't pay him to sit. Like he's coming here to, yeah, he's coming here to earn that check.
Oh, absolutely.
But also, yeah, he's part of the program. All right. Lastly, we are doing that sincere Big Ten. Just this is just who we think is going to be that all Big Ten at the end of the year.
Again, for the front court, I want to pick one of the Indiana guys. I'm not going to pick more than one just because, with all due respect, I still want – if you have multiple guys on the all-Big Ten team, that means Indiana was very, very good this year. And you guys are kind of just at the point right now where I want you to prove it to me first before I give you guys the benefit of the doubt. So at center, I put Umar Ballo. Again, for me, I just think the two spots I think that I'm – safest in projecting here are Umar Ballo and Braden Smith at point guard. Obviously, he's a returning all Big Ten team member. Purdue, obviously losing Zach Edey, but Braden, you know, he is a star in itself. Like, we'll see how he adjusts now that a lot of the attention is gone with Zach. But I mean, he balled us up last year at Illinois. He had some really clutch shots, and I think he's going to be a fantastic player for Purdue. The other three spots is where I think things get kind of interesting, and I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on it. Again, I just went Azubar at power forward only because I, you know, it was like 17-9, but I'm not confident about it. I don't think guys who play for bad teams really make this list, at least the first team.
Yeah,
and I don't really, I can't name two or three other guys on Washington. So, yeah. Like, for me, it's like, you know, one of those where I just kind of placed him at power forward. But I also wanted to put, Golden, who I really like, Vladislav, on Michigan. But, again, I just don't know how good Michigan's going to be this year either. So I just went ahead and put in the guy who's going to make a boatload of money, figuring he's going to be a little extra motivated. At shooting guard, I put Kasperis just because I do think that Illinois is going to be a top three team, maybe top four team in the conference this year. And if that's going to be the case, then I got to pick somebody on the team because, you know, like Indiana, when Illinois is good, the fan base is very passionate. And there's a reason the TV networks always put us on TV. Like, we're always one of the most highly rated teams that gets just insane numbers of people watching. And so with that comes a little Illini bump. And so for that reason, I picked Kasperis just with the idea that he lives up to the hype coming into this year. And speaking of living up to the hype, my last spot, I wanted to pick one of the Rutgers freshmen just because I think that's going to be a storyline this year in the Big Ten, you know, between Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. I went with Ace. I could have very well just put Harper in this spot, but I think it would be good for college basketball if these two players play like people are telling us that they're going to play like. Rutgers is a program that, you know, it is what it, like, you don't necessarily think that two of the three top players in the country would all of a sudden commit to Rutgers. So having guys this talented, I'd like to see them succeed. And if they succeed, I think, you know, if you can make one of them one of the all Big Ten on the all Big Ten teams, I think that'd be good for the league.
Yeah. And it is. Yeah. It is, like you said, it is a storyline and storylines get votes like they do. My turn. My sincere all Big Ten right now.
Let's see how sincere it is.
Every single all Big Ten I've done up like all off season has included Braden Smith. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm not doing Braden Smith. He's done. Oh. I'm done with it.
Oh, man. Okay. So
I've seen enough of the freaking practice footage they're showing out, and I'm supposed to be impressed with like Fletcher cutting under the basket for a reverse like hook that is ultimately just like you warming up in the driveway. It's going to be shocking to everyone. I think I don't understand any of it, but
I think it's all Matt Painter. You know, I think at this point he's just for sure. And I mean, that's what it is with me. You know, I think you look
at the roster and it's just, who's he giving the ball to? Look at the efficiency ratings that he was getting. Those shots were being converted at. Those were ludicrous conversion ratings that all of his passes were being like passed into. He lost his first, second, and third, I think, converters, and Lance Jones, Zach. And I think he's going to feel it this year, and I'm finally going to take the stand and start saying it.
I want to hear then who's on your list then.
Yeah. Again, I think that much like Purdue had to last year, I know it is a team's game, and I did play this accordingly. Like, I know that teams can only have so much representation, and you need the competitors in there. But I think Miles Rice, man, I think if this team's where I want him to be, he's on the All Big Ten because the backcourt looks entirely different than we've seen it. And everyone will point to him. The national media will point to him as the catalyst for all that. Second, I had Kasparis Jakusionis. Dude, I just wanted to bring him up to you, but I think I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on him too. I think this kid might be pretty nasty with it. And yeah, I'm excited to see him play some American ball.
Once he committed, I watched every game I could. He took on overtime elite, you know, like the top high school players, the U.S. American high school players here, and he more than held his own. You know, he averaged 25 plus points, like getting to the line, shooting efficiently. You know, it's not too late to jump on the train, so I'm glad you did now.
Yeah. I think he's going to contribute right away and really make a splash. Like you said, with Rutgers, I do think there needs to be some Rutgers representation. I put Dylan Harper on here. Now I'm looking at this roster, my five, and positionally speaking, I should probably have Ace Bailey on here, but I think one of them has to.
Yeah, it's one of them. Yeah,
unless they finish bottom three, one of them is on here. And I have Peyton Sanford. I think he's just, it's going to be his show. Iowa is going to be the Peyton Sanford shot hour, like just shot after shot after shot. Over under 5 billion shots for him this season. That's just the thesis of the team.
He's just one of those guys where, like, I just don't know where Iowa is anymore. You know, it's like they're so content just being average and if that. And I just don't know if, you know, they're going to finish on the top half of the Big Ten. But like you said, yeah, he's going to be another box score warrior absolutely this year.
And yeah, he took my spot over Dawson Garcia, who I think could easily find himself anywhere on there. And lastly, that Indiana front court, man. Now I can't have three. Like, I wish I could put Umar and Malik on here, right. But I think Umar will be far more dominant. I think that you'll see his presence will be felt far more severely. But I think with the minutes that he'll be asked to play, with the roles that I think he might be able to introduce to his game this year, with hopefully being able to break down at all while closing out on a shot and not just barrel into anybody, you know, just pump faking. I think Malik Renew is going to be that all Big Ten five down low.
Again, for me, it was just picking one, right? Like,
That's the problem. You could go either way.
Yeah. And, well, with the team with the Rutgers guys, like, for me, it was just kind of a coin flip. And so I just went with Bala just being a bigger guy. And, you know, basically that's it.
Yeah, I think that is now dependent on him getting far better at closing out on perimeter shooters and also just him being able to contribute a little more perimeter shooting himself. I mean, when he does take them, he makes them. Now it's just about getting them up quicker and more often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
But again, it's simply one of those, like, we talked about this before. You know, I had brought you on, I believe it was a line I cast, pretty much as soon as the season ended, when you guys had lost out on that five-star who went to UConn. Sorry, I forgot.
Oh, yeah. No, I told you. I came on and just was like, dude, our world is burning.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I felt like I felt like it was therapy for you. Like, you just looked so
sad. Oh, yeah. No, I was, dude, it was so good. I was just like, I just need to scream at YouTube right now. And then,
you know, just like 3 or 4 weeks later, all of a sudden, it seems like everyone in Hoosier land just were like, no, this is not going to happen. You know, Purdue just went to the national championship. We're finished. So basically, everyone piled into that NIL war chest, and you guys just went all in. And, you know, I respect it. You know, like, I had you guys as one of the top three teams in the conference this year. But before I put three guys on the All Big Ten teams, I'm going to want you to prove it to me first.
Oh, no, for sure. That's why I only have the two.
Sure. Very humble of you.
God, Sonny, thank you so much for doing this. You guys, Sonny's one of the good ones, obviously. I mean, Sonny, go ahead and plug all your stuff, man.
Yeah. Again,
you guys, it is Illinois stuff, but I'm telling you, when you want to peek behind their curtain, he is a good curtain to peek behind. He's your guy. Go to him.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, for this audience, maybe they might like Big Ten content
even more.
So definitely check out, just do a search for Big Ten Show on YouTube. Again, we try to do once a week. Right now during football season, what we're trying to do is do watch parties. Whenever there's a big game on, me and my co-host Justin Adams, you know, we just sit there and watch the game with you guys, and we just go back and forth with the chat. But if you do want to check in every now and then on Illini content, I've been producing content every single day, and I mean even on weekends, most weeks, at Locked On Illini. So it's 30 minutes every single day. First and foremost, please follow me and, you know, give me a like and a subscribe on that channel. But also Illini Cast, which is also where you can find me on Twitter. That's just more of a free form. That's, you know, me and bantering back and forth with whoever guests I bring on that particular week. But regardless, thank you so much for having me on. It's exciting for me to, you know, be here on YouTube with you now. Like, I know I had done the podcast previously, and so now that you're venturing into new areas, I feel honored that you invited me on.
Oh, shit, man. Thank you.
All good, man.
Thank you. All right, take it easy. Thank you again to Sonny so much. I mean, it's just awesome how he can help me out and fill in on this, the second video episode of the podcast. Before we get into that Hoosier history hits, just some late last minute news for you that I was unable to recover in the Indiana news prior. Jalen Harrelson is down to his last three. Now, maybe I did say that before, but since then, Notre Dame has picked up a same position player in that recruitment class. I mean, that doesn't mean nothing, but hopefully that influences Jalen's decision a little. Maybe their resources have already been spent, whatever that may mean. Just a note for you. And also, Braylon Mullins narrowed it down to three schools. Decision to come in October. I mean, maybe as soon as next week, but UConn, UNC, and Indiana. Nobody said it was going to be easy, but we have a chance to get some very high caliber players, some huge, big time talent, and I'm just excited at the prospects that Mike Woodson and the staff really have been able to garner for us. All right, all that in the books.
This is your Hoosier history.
For your Hoosier history hit, I am going to pick. Yes, I chose this back during the Paris Olympics. It is an Olympian. I chose Milt Campbell. My source for this is myiu.org. Along the side here, I'll make sure to put some like cheesy graphic because I'm not using photos I can't use on the show. I don't know copyright law. I'm going to try to stay away from it. I'm not even going to get dirty in it at all. So IU class of 1957 and Olympic decathlon gold medalist Milt Campbell. Milt Campbell was a gifted track and field athlete as a young man. Campbell set New Jersey state records in the high and low hurdles and in the high jump and scored 140 points as a fullback in football. He was named Track and Field News High School Athlete of the Year in 1952. While he earned the distinction of All-State in both football and swimming, Campbell excelled most in track and field. Campbell was only a senior in high school when he competed in the 1952 Olympic decathlon. Yes, a senior competing in that 1952 Olympics. In those Olympics in Helsinki, Milt Campbell would take home silver. In an interview with the Star Ledger, Campbell recalled a conversation he had as a teenager with his high school track coach. He had said, he asked me what I wanted to be. I told him the best athlete in Plainfield. Then it became the best athlete in New Jersey and eventually the best in America, then the best in the world. Credit to Milt Campbell for just seeing that dream and going out and realizing it himself. In the time between 1952 and the 1956 Olympics, Campbell enrolled at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. And much like in high school, he played football and ran track, winning Indiana a national title in the high hurdles, further preparing for the upcoming 1956 games. At those 1956 Olympics in Melbourne, Australia, Campbell earned the gold medal, becoming the first black man to do so. In 1957, the NFL's Cleveland Browns drafted Campbell, and he played there for one season as a running back. He then played for various teams in the Canadian Football League until his football career ended in 1964. Following an illustrious athletic career, Campbell returned to his home state of New Jersey, where he started doing humanitarian work, including opening a private school for underprivileged children and co-founding a community center. Since his insane achievements, Milt Campbell has been inducted into the National Track and Field Hall of Fame, the International Swimming Hall of Fame, and the New Jersey Sports Hall of Fame. In 2000, Campbell was named the New Jersey Sports Writer Association's New Jersey Athlete of the Century. Milt Campbell, Olympic legend, Hoosier legend. There's your Hoosier history hit for the week. All right. Here we are at the end of the episode. Lastly, follow me everywhere across all socials at Often Daunted. Thank you so much for listening to the episode. I truly appreciate you guys for going through these growing pains with me. It's been so much fun figuring out how I'm going to be formatting all this and just continuing to get guys like Sonny involved, get guys like Jaren and Adam involved. It's going to be a fun season, and I truly appreciate you for already being here for the ride. Again, thank you for suffering through those growing pains. I know there are going to be plenty. There are going to be plenty more, but hopefully every episode from here on out is a little better than the one before. Thank you so much, Hoosier fans. God bless you and yours. I will be right back here in 2 weeks' time. Once we get to that season, it'll be 1 week. But 2 weeks' time, God bless you and yours. Lux et Veritas, as always, go Hoosiers.